Ramsey TV.
Martin Zender here, coming at you from the fort. Fort Lauderdale, established in 1911 at the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula. Welcome to the end of the week. I'm going to talk today about Jesus in flesh. I'm on the same topic of what God did concerning sin, sending his own son. Oh, that Fleming example, I loved it. Because, you see, Jesus came in flesh to do the job against sin because the problem was with sin, and sin had attacked the flesh. Let me say that again. I think it was profound. I may have uttered a profundity there. Jesus came in flesh to do the job against sin because the problem was with sin, and sin had attacked the flesh. You see, like my example yesterday, the plumber doesn't come to mow the grass. The problem's not with the grass. The problem is with the plumbing. Plumbing? Plumber. So if Jesus hadn't come in flesh to meet us in the substance of our predicament, which is flesh, then this whole flesh thing would seem like a colossal waste of time. A colossal waste of time and material. Because the miracle comes when God eventually, at the snatching away for us, infuses our flesh with immortal spirit power. See, so this thing's all about flesh. It's concerning sin in the flesh. Not just sin, but sin in the flesh. This is why Jesus came in the flesh, to deal with the problem where the problem lives. Again, the plumber doesn't come to mow your grass. Because what revelation or education would there be, and we're here to learn something, if God radically changed us before he radically changed us? So like if we were to go from human to robot and then to a celestial being, okay, get this, we're human, then we're a robot, the next phase, then we're a celestial human being, then what was all the flesh for? See what I mean? Like, if a man is lame, what good is it if Jesus heals his arm? There's nothing wrong with the guy's arm. Or what benefit turning the guy's leg into a lamppost before healing it? You see, it's kind of abstract, but Jesus is coming to heal the guy's leg. Heal the leg, for God's sake. The leg. Don't turn it into a lamppost and then heal it. Don't heal the arm. Heal the leg. Thus, Jesus Christ comes to rescue us where we are. That's the whole point. That's the overriding point. Where we are in the substance of that of which we are composed. Flesh. This is where he meets us. Meets us where we live. Because if Jesus Christ fights sin by becoming a light brighter than the noonday sun, again, the flesh then seems superfluous. We should have been born as light or something. And again, I'm talking about how Jesus Christ concerning sin. Let me read the verse again, part of it. Sending his own son in the likeness of sin's flesh, coming to meet us where we live, dealing with the issue with which we have the problem, which is flesh. And he doesn't come as a light brighter than the noonday sun. He comes in flesh, beset by our problem, i.e. flesh, but without sin. And the cool miracle is that when we're changed, our flesh is going to be changed. And we're still going to have bodies, but we're going to have new bodies. You see, it's all dealt with the body. We're not going to become non-human when we're changed. We're a new humanity. We're not changed into some weird creature or some weird genus and species that doesn't even exist yet. No, we're still going to be human beings, but we're going to be a new humanity. Paul calls it new humanity. So since he came concerning sin, he comes in the likeness of sin's flesh. Paul used the word likeness here because Jesus Christ's flesh wasn't sin infused. He comes in the likeness of sin's flesh. Likeness. It's like our flesh in that it's composed of the same elements, but it's without sin. Other than this, his flesh was identical to ours, which is really a shock. Jesus Christ showed us that the problem was not with flesh. And there's that the problem was not with nature. Neither is the problem with flesh. It's with sin's flesh. Sin's flesh. The flesh that sin inhabits due to our mortality. And to prove that, he fought sin in flesh. You see, but his flesh was not sinning. His flesh was not problematic. Sure, it vexed him, but it wasn't infused with sin. There's nothing wrong with flesh because in the end, flesh beat flesh, coming in the likeness of sin's flesh. Just reading the scriptures here, albeit spirit-infused flesh, yes, of course. So this hasn't been a waste of time after all. No, you're supposed to be in flesh. You're not in some weird material that's going to be changed before it's changed. It's going to be changed into something else as a stepping stone to being changed. No, we're going to be changed actually in our flesh. So you're actually in the ballpark just being yourself, being in flesh. You're supposed to be in flesh. And Jesus Christ also came in flesh. That justifies the whole thing, really. I mean, that makes you realize that you haven't been wasting your time in flesh because Jesus himself came in the likeness of sin's flesh. I can't say this enough. He didn't battle sin as a light brighter than the noonday sun. Later, yeah, he could take that form. But when he comes to deal with the problem, he deals with the problem and he answers it where we live, telling us that this whole thing has not been for naught. You see what I'm saying with that? It kind of makes us feel a little better for spending all these years in the flesh. It doesn't seem like such a stupid idea or a giant waste. I'm in flesh. Yeah, but Jesus came in the likeness of sin's flesh. Well, he did, didn't he? The Son of God thought it was important to come in flesh. I'm in flesh. Ho-ho. I feel kind of important now for being in flesh. The miracle of our change is going to be the glory come to flesh. And the memory will be, oh my gosh, this was my flesh. This was my flesh. See, the whole shock is coming to change sin's flesh and put the spirit in it and cause it to be spirit-infused flesh. I'm not saying that we will always have to take flesh, but in our glorified state as our Lord, he could take flesh and come and talk to the disciples. And then 3 weeks later, show up as a light brighter than the sun to Saul on the road to Damascus. And we can do the same thing after we're changed. The microphone keeps moving on me. I guess I got to tighten these screws. We can do the same thing after we're glorified. We can come in flesh if we want to. So really, it's all about contrast and years of it too much. If you ask me. Anyway, Jesus Christ, again, came to rescue us in our current estate. The only difference was, I just want to make sure I hammer this, is he was without sin. He went to a lot of trouble to take flesh. And I admire that. He really went out of his way. If you don't think Jesus Christ pre-existed, shame on you. Aren't you reading the scriptures? My God, he took flesh. Came. Anyway, without him coming just as we are, only without sin, his work would have looked like a mere trick. Like, who stands a chance against a light brighter than the noonday sun? But we know instead that he took away sin by unfathomable trial and suffering. And because he came into our state yet without sin, it really causes us to love him even more. Again, the Jews wanted him to come riding in on the fine Arab charger, but he didn't. He came in the likeness of sin's flesh. So he fought flesh, remarkably, with flesh. Albeit spirit-infused flesh. I know I already said that. I keep saying it. But I need to make the point. Now, he condemns sin in the flesh. Let's see how much time I have. This is a strange saying concerning sin. He condemns sin in the flesh. That's the verse. And concerning sin, he condemns sin in the flesh. It's a strange saying. Does it mean that Jesus Christ condemned sin while he was in the flesh, or that he condemns the sin that abides in the flesh? It's the latter. Let me put the two things before you. He comes to condemn sin in the flesh. Does it mean that Jesus Christ condemned sin while he was in flesh, or that he condemns the sin that abides in the flesh? It's the latter. He condemns the sin that abides in the flesh. Sin only lives in the flesh as a figure of speech. It doesn't actually live there. But the picture, try to picture it literally and it'll help. Because we're talking new creation truth here. New creation. It's very difficult to wrap your head around it, so sometimes practical examples help. Back to the arm pinch. Pinch your arm. Now imagine that every freckle and every age spot, sorry if you don't have age spots, I'm sorry if I offended you. Every freckle and age spot and hair blemish on your arm, just picture this. This is new creation truth, but it's hard to grasp. Imagine that everything represents sin. The freckle is sin. An age spot is sin. Even your hair is sin. Or picture microscopic parasites just below your flesh. Sorry to have to bring that up, but they're down there. Now, someone waves a strange light wand with a color of light never before seen over your arm. Someone takes a light wand. Someone says, watch what I'm going to do. They take this wand of light, like kind of like a lightsaber in Star Wars, only it's just like pulsating and beaming with a light no one's ever seen before. And it goes over your arm, and the age spots disappear. All the parasites die. Now there's nothing but pure and beautiful flesh. There you go. I feel better now having given that example. That's kind of like what this is. It's kind of like what the new creation is. I mean, don't take it too far. I'm not saying that this same literal material is now able to do the things of God. But in another sense, yeah, it will be. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that you, after that wand, after that new creation, after that transformation of your body, you will now be able, when that happens, when that thing comes to change the immortality, you will be able to do the things of God. Because there's a new power source energizing your flesh, spirit. It's not blood anymore, it's spirit of God infusing it, infusing you. I mean, if you actively even now love someone or you're patient with someone, it's still your body of skin moving around doing these things. But this body of skin in measure, in the little measure God gives us, the spirit, is energized by the spirit, causing you to have and manifest the fruit of the spirit. It's not being energized by our old infirmities, fear to obey the law or die. No, it's by the grace of God that's been put into your head by Paul, reading his words, believing his words, spiritual revelation that translates to your flesh. That can happen even now. That can happen even now. Your dying flesh can be animated in part by the Spirit of God, which dwells in us in part. So now when your flesh does things for God, it operates in the Spirit and not according to the flesh, even though you're still in flesh. So in a way, the literal flesh can operate both in the metaphorical way against God. Remember, I always talk about how flesh, in the flesh, it's metaphoric. It's that thing that fights against the spirit. Or it can operate literally by the Spirit of God dwelling in you, depending on your realization of what God has done for you and your grasp of the death of the old humanity. I'm going to continue this probably one more day on Monday. In the meantime, think of the wonderful analogies this week. Think of the Mona Lisa. You're just supposed to look at it and admire it and then run the hell out of the museum. Let it be what it is. Let the sacrifice of Christ be what it is. Don't get your grimy hands on it. And if you're going to look at the law tacked up on a wall somewhere, admire it as perfect, but I mean really run from that, because you can't do it. You weren't meant to do it. It's impossible. And don't forget the metaphor. Don't forget the example. Pinch your arm. Look at the flesh. Look at the hair. If you have flesh, then you can't do the law. It'd be a miracle, again, if flesh is animated in this life to do the law. Let's not forget the plumber. Let's not forget that nasty clog of sin. And that God did something concerning it. Did God? He sent his own son concerning sin in the flesh. Sent. He sent him. We got a man coming down. And now you can relax. The problem's being solved. You tried to unclog your life. You've tried to fix your life so many times. It's frustrating. You cuss your way out of it. Nope. You try to pour substances into it, like alcohol and cigarettes, coffee. Nope. None of it really works. But we're sending a man down. Oh, yeah. The new humanity. That man came down concerning sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. On Monday, I'm going to talk about how he condemned sin in the flesh. Because at this stage of the game, 2,000 years after Christ, it's all good news.